So we're going to continue this morning. One thing to point out, I don't think it's been mentioned yet, but this morning is Pentecost Sunday. It's a Sunday in which we celebrate God's gift of the Holy Spirit to the church. And as we look at where we've been, I just want to rehearse briefly what we've seen about this amazing gift that God has given His church and the Spirit. The Spirit is the very presence, the very power of Almighty God, not only within this place and in the world, but living inside of our hearts for us who follow Jesus. The Spirit is this gift that makes the Father's presence and the Son's presence real to us, so that these are lived realities. The Spirit makes the gospel real. So if you're here this morning and you've ever responded to God's grace, it's a result of the Holy Spirit making that grace real to your heart. What an amazing gift. The Spirit is the gift of empowerment, to empower the church to fulfill the great commission that God has given us, this commission to go out into the ends of the earth and make disciples of Jesus. That's our commission. The Spirit is this promise Spirit of God, promise to both come upon us in power to do what God's called us to do, and promise to live with inside of us, to change us from the inside out. The Spirit wants to fill us again and again, fill us with power, with His living presence inside of us. And the question that we want to look at this morning as we bring many of these thoughts to a close for now is the question of how. How do we receive Holy Spirit empowerment? We've been talking about it. We've been looking at the biblical pattern in the Old Testament, in the life of Jesus, in the New Testament. But how do we now grow in receiving that power in our lives? What does that look like to do that? That's what we want to consider this morning. And once again, we're indebted to Dunamis Fellowship Canada for their teaching. So we're going to get at it first by just talking about some ground rules. Just a few briefly to go over. First of all, that there is no set formula. So please don't hear in what we're talking about this morning some kind of formula that if you just follow the formula, then you're going to get the power of the Holy Spirit. There's no formula like that. Rather, receiving the Holy Spirit for power in our lives flows out of a growing personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so in many ways, the things we're going to talk about this morning are about how we grow in our relationship with Jesus, how we become more dependent on Him, how we grow in such a way that we are open to receiving the influence and power of His Spirit. Secondly, if you are a Christian, know that you already have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. I mentioned that a few minutes ago. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you believe the good news of who Jesus says He is and what He's accomplished, that can only have happened because of one thing, because the Holy Spirit was working inside of you to give you the gift of faith. So don't think, as we talk this morning, that there's something that you've missed out on. The Spirit is within you. If you were here last Sunday, and if you weren't, let me just briefly recap. What we're talking about this morning is not so much the work of the Holy Spirit within us to change us, to give us faith. What we're speaking about this morning is the Holy Spirit falling upon us for power. But let's also be clear that when we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit for empowerment, it doesn't mean that we're getting more of the Holy Spirit. But rather, think about it this way. It's us letting the Holy Spirit have more of us. Us yielding more of our lives to Him, submitting to Him, surrendering more to Him. And that will be clear as we go this morning. Another final point in terms of a ground rule. So if you've been a Christian, if you've been in different churches, you'll know, and we talked about this actually last week, you'll know that there are differences. That there are people walk and move in different manifestations of the Spirit's power, different giftings of the Holy Spirit. That's what we should expect. In fact, that is what God tells us in His Word would happen. We need to be clear, though, about how we understand those differences. And those differences really have to do with two things, or one of these two things often. On the one hand, some people have learned how to cooperate more fully with the Holy Spirit than others. That's just reality. And in fact, we're going to talk, the heart of this morning's message is how do we cooperate with the Holy Spirit? And the dynamics that we're going to speak about, think about it this way, as we get to them, some people embody those dynamics more than others. And I think as we go through it, it'll be clear why that's the case. But another reason, and it's often the primary reason, is that the different expressions and manifestations of the Spirit's power are related to differences in God's calling for different kinds of work and our obedience to that calling. In fact, Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 12 when he's speaking about the different manifestations of the Spirit. Now, to each one, the manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. And then Paul will go on to talk about all the different manifestations, different giftings, all for the common good, but each a little bit different. Brad Long puts it this way, carpenters need different tools than surgeons, and surgeons need different tools than stonemasons, right? You can't give a surgeon's tools to a carpenter and expect the outcome to be all that great. And you can't give a stonemason's tools to a surgeon and expect the outcome to be all that great. It's no different in the body of Christ. Some have gifts and empowerment to preach. Some are empowered for evangelism. Some are empowered to reach out in love to those who are hurting. Some are empowered to do works of administration. Some are empowered to lead. And we could go on. In fact, Paul does go on. It's not that one has more of the Holy Spirit than the other. It's that there are different manifestations of the Spirit's power for the different callings that God has sent us all into. And we'll come back to that dynamic later this morning. So those are just some basic ground rules to be clear on. Let's jump into the heart of this morning's teaching and look at the dynamics of cooperation or the dynamics for receiving empowerment. And there are five dynamics that we want to talk about this morning. Five dynamics that help us and are really driven by this vision of Acts 1:8 that help us experience this promise that God makes in Acts, experience this as a living reality in our lives. You remember, we've looked at this text before. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. So how do we experience Acts 1:8 today? How do we receive power with the Holy Spirit coming upon us to equip us and empower us to do the works that God has called us to do? That's what we want to consider this morning. And let's be really clear. It's Jesus' role to call us. It's Jesus' role to fill us with the Holy Spirit. It's not my role. It's not Randy's role. It's not the elder's role. And what we're looking at this morning is what our human role is. If you want to think about it that way, the preparation that we can do as human beings to receive the gift that Jesus wants to give us. An image that's often used, and I want to use that image now, is that cooperating with the Holy Spirit's a bit like a dance. And it's learning how to dance with the Holy Spirit that we're talking about this morning. Know this, the Holy Spirit is leading the dance. So how do we dance with the Holy Spirit? How do we cooperate? That's what we want to look at this morning. And we're going to look at these five dynamics that many have found helpful in learning how to dance with the Spirit. The first dynamic is thirst. Thirst. Thirst for more. Thirst for more of what, you say? More of God. Thirst for intimacy with God. More of God. More yearning for Him who satisfies the deepest longings of our soul. It's a Psalm 63:1 sort of thirst, where the psalmist writes these words, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you." It's a strong word, earnestly. It's a great effort. I seek after you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. So the first dynamic of learning to cooperate with the Holy Spirit is to have this thirst, this yearning, this earnest seeking after God and more of His presence in our lives. Jesus puts it this way in John chapter 7, using this image of thirst. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. And by this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So how do we cultivate this thirst for more of God? One of the ways we can cultivate this thirst is to recognize and become more aware, more honest about our profound inadequacy to do the things that God has called us to do. In fact, Jesus puts it this way in John 15, apart from me, he says, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's this thirst and hunger that comes out of a deep sense of helplessness. Getting to a place where you say, God, I need you. I cannot do this without you. I can't do it without you. And I know some of us are more quick to get there than others. Lots of reasons for that. Our own sense of pride, perhaps, our own sense of our own strength, or our own track record, if you will. And if you're one of those people who it takes a while to get there, to realize your inadequacy, your helplessness, here's another thing you can do to cultivate this thirst. Get in way over your head. Do something that you absolutely have no natural talent or strength to do. And then you'll find your inadequacy. I am one of those people who's finding it easier to get there as I get older. I'll just be honest. I feel more and more helplessness as I continue in ministry. More and more do I feel helpless to change anyone's life. I can sit up here and wax eloquently for weeks on end under no presumption that my words have any power to change anyone's heart. It's humbling. And I feel this profoundly in the parenting journey as well. Let me ask you, does God fill us with the Holy Spirit to empower us to be parents? To be obedient to his call to raise our children. Absolutely he does. Yes, and amen to that. Is parenting kids in today's world, does it often bring parents to the edge of recognizing how helpless and powerless they are and how inadequate we are? I sure hope it does. I know it does for me. Thirst, born out of our inadequacy. Born out of our helplessness. Can you begin to see why some people are more thirsty than others? How thirsty are you this morning? Thirst is something we can cultivate in prayer. Crying out to God, 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 make me more thirsty for you. Make me more thirsty for more of your love, more of your power, more of you in my life. Thirst is the first dynamic. The second dynamic is expectancy. Paul puts it this way in Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Let me ask you this morning, what do you expect from God? What do you expect? Every time I go through Freedom Session, I'm really struck by this question. It comes early on in the course, and it goes something like this. What do you want God to do for you? How would you answer that question? What do you want God to do for you? Often, I think if we're honest, we have a small concept of God. Maybe not in our heads, but in the way we live our lives, we don't often live as if we truly believe the things that Scripture tells us about God, that we serve and worship the Creator and Lord of the universe, who just spoke and things came into being. Let me ask you, did you face your problems this week living consistent with that belief? that's the God that you serve and worship. We don't really believe or live as if we truly believe that God can work through someone like you or me. And so often we reduce God to this manageable box that we have control over, we put him in. So what does it look like to grow in expectancy? I mean, look at what Paul's saying. It's challenging because Paul's word speaks to even the most expectant person, right? Imagine something big God can do. Like imagine God could just fill this church and every church across this city to the rafters with people. Massive revival breaks out in Pitt Meadows and Maple Ridge. The churches are full. More churches get planted. Imagine that. That's a pretty big expectation, right? He's able to do immeasurably more. You can't even measure anything that you could imagine or ask for. According to his power. So how do we grow in expectancy? Here's some ideas, some suggestions. Read the book of Acts. Meditate on it. Because the book of Acts and really the story of the whole early church, it tells the story of what the Holy Spirit can do through ordinary Christians. And it's pretty startling to read it from that perspective. In fact, the early church, within a generation or two, overturns the whole Roman Empire and transforms it. It's a powerful story of what God can do through ordinary people. Read reports of past revivals, past times in the history of the church and the world where the Holy Spirit has shown up and worked in powerful ways and be inspired. Or go to some place where the Holy Spirit is moving in power. Step into a place where you can have your vision stretched, a place where there is expectancy for the Holy Spirit to work. I remember one of the times I was in South Africa and I was there to study, but in the evenings I met with all these African students who were there from all the countries south of the Sahara. There's so many different ones there, and they would meet every night to eat, to worship, and to pray. Wow. Was my mind opened and my vision stretched for what it looks like to pray expectantly for the Holy Spirit to work. It changed me. I was convicted when I read these words by Brad Long. We do not really expect anything to happen in church except to meet a few friends, hear a pleasing sermon, sing some familiar hymns, contribute to an offering, and go home to a good Sunday dinner. In our lives, we expect God to do little, except perhaps bless our homes and our children and get us through the day. Many of us sincerely hope that nothing much will happen. And because we expect little, God does little. So the second dynamic is expectancy. How expectant are you for the Holy Spirit to move and work in power? A third dynamic is repentance and surrender. At Pentecost, Peter puts it this way: repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's be clear. You don't have to be perfect to receive the Holy Spirit upon you for power. If you had to be perfect, nobody would qualify. But you need to be growing. Growing in the inner work of the Spirit. Put another way, you need to be walking in the light and living a life of continual repentance and surrender to Jesus Christ. John puts it this way in his epistle: but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. What does it look like to live in the light? To be open to this work of the Spirit? It's inviting the Holy Spirit. Inviting the Holy Spirit to search you. And to bring your sin to the light. But know this, if you ask the Holy Spirit to search you out and to bring your sin to the light, the Holy Spirit loves that prayer, and the Holy Spirit would love to answer that prayer, meaning the Holy Spirit will find the stuff inside of you that perhaps you're trying really hard to ignore. And as the Holy Spirit brings sin to light, it's this act of surrender, this readiness, this willingness to confess, to repent, to turn away, and to receive the forgiveness and cleansing of Jesus. Bringing sin into the light and asking the Holy Spirit to do that. Turning back from your sin, surrendering your life and all of your sin to Jesus Christ. Jesus uses this image in Matthew 16. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You've heard me say it before. If you want to follow Jesus, one of the prerequisites is come and die. Come and die to yourself. Come and die to your aspirations, your dreams. It's a big part of surrender is learning to give up doing things on your own strength. Learning to surrender our personal ambitions in favor of seeking God's will for our lives. Letting God have the ultimate say in our lives and in this church. So how are we doing on this one? I know I've heard from others. I've served along in leadership, including someone this week, that there's just this growing sense that we need to repent. We need to repent of trying to do things on our own strength. If that's resonating with you this morning, when we go into a time of prayer after the message, maybe this is the place to start. We just repent and say, God, I've been trying to do life. We've been trying to do church, perhaps. We've been trying to do these things on our own strength. We're sorry. We can't do it on our own strength. In fact, there's more good news here, and I say that with a smile, because it's often the experience that people have of going through a wilderness-like journey before we truly learn to give up trying to do things on our own strength. What does a wilderness journey look like? Well, the image comes from the story of God's people journeying through the wilderness. The wilderness experience that many have described is like feeling abandoned by God. It can feel like having a dry and pointless prayer life. It can feel like being driven by this constant restlessness and at the same time besieged by temptations. The wilderness is this place where you will fight deep battles with yourself, with God, and with the enemy. The ancients called it the dark night of the soul. But here's the thing, it's often through the wilderness experiences of life that we learn to surrender everything to Jesus and grow in deeper intimacy with him and greater empowerment. When I look back, the journaling I did over the last 3 years and a bit, it's safe to say that God took me, and it feels like in some ways I'm still there, taking me through the wilderness. I suffered the accident and the concussion, the lengthy time of recovery. I go back and I look at the kind of journaling I did before the Lord, the kinds of ways I was praying. It's obvious to me now. I was doing deep battle. Deep battle. Times of great darkness. For all those who prayed for me through the wilderness, thank you. Thank you. I don't think it's any accident that as I came out of the wilderness and I came upon the teaching of Dunamis, it just resonated so deeply. Say, God, I can't do this on my own strength. I'm sorry for trying. How about you? Have you repented and surrendered your weakness and helplessness before God? I told you, right? Now hopefully you can see the dynamics. Some of us are more ready and willing to embrace these dynamics than others. But these are the dynamics that have been learned in cooperating with the Holy Spirit. The fourth dynamic is to ask and receive by faith. To have the Holy Spirit upon you for power is something that we must appropriate in faith, and we must receive by asking. And it sounds simple, and on the one hand, it is simple. We ask, and as Jesus says, with a childlike faith, we receive. And God is a God who loves to give his gifts to us. And one of the gifts he loves to give is the gift of his Spirit. And so at one level, it is that simple. With childlike faith, we come before our God. We know he loves us. He loves to give us gifts. And we just ask and we receive by faith. We say, Lord, I give up. I can't do this thing you've called me to do on my own strength, whether it's parenting or loving this person or doing the work of evangelism or whatever God's called me to do and called you to do. We can ask again and again every time we feel we don't have what it takes. Whenever we face a situation we feel hopeless, we can pray, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I need your power. I cannot do this. It's the prayer we prayed this morning before we came out. It's the prayer we're learning to pray every Sunday morning, and every Monday morning, every Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday, Friday, you bet, Saturday. And there we are again on Sunday. Lord, fill me. I love this image that John Calvin has for prayer and for asking God. He has this image of a shovel. And he says that there's all these treasures of the gospel. And these treasures are in a field, and it's through prayer that we dig up the treasures. Prayer is the shovel that we dig up the treasures, the gifts that God has for us. And so in prayer, we simply ask for the Holy Spirit to fall upon us in power. Remember what I said earlier, there's no formula. There's no special prayer language. There's no special person that must pray for you. What matters is the intent of your heart, reaching out to God, say, Lord, I need your help. I cannot do this. I need your power. You can pray alone. You can ask someone to pray with you and for you. There's biblical examples of people laying hands on you and praying for you. And as you ask, it's receiving in faith that the Holy Spirit will in fact fill you and empower you. Receiving the empowerment of the Spirit is not tied to an experience or emotions. Let's be clear about that. It's founded on the promises of God. And it's taking God at his word and asking and receiving in faith. Paul puts it this way in Galatians. Does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law? You could insert in there, or you do any act of obedience, or because you believe what you heard. Jesus said he wanted to give us the Spirit. Do we believe that? How's our faith? Final dynamic is obedience. So after we ask for the empowering of the Holy Spirit, and we receive that empowerment by faith, our faith must be made alive. Our faith must be activated through obedience to the Holy Spirit. And again, the heart of obedience, to go back to a point earlier, is just to surrender our wills to God. It's when the Holy Spirit nudges you, it will take time to learn that's the Spirit nudging me. But as you learn to identify his presence, his voice in your life nudging you, it's acting out in obedience. It's saying, God, here I am. I belong to you. Send me where you will. Use me as you desire. Do with me what you want. And so here's the invitation. Again, we come back to prayer. Prayer's woven through all these points, but we ask the Holy Spirit to tell us to do something. And if you get this sense, this thought that comes in your mind or this idea that emerges in your heart, the Holy Spirit nudging you, and it's to do something that's encouraging, that's challenging, that's loving, that's not contrary to the Bible, then just go ahead and do it. That's what obedience looks like. Act in obedience. And it's actually the acting in obedience that becomes one of the ways, the primary ways that we experience the power. Remember the pattern we've looked at in Scripture. It's the Spirit coming upon us for power to do something, to obey, to follow. As we step out in obedience, that power is manifested in us as we respond. So dynamics for cooperating with the Spirit. Let me end this way. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon us in power, sometimes there are manifestations of that happening. And this has been a huge source of misunderstanding, and so we want to say a few words about this. We are planning another sermon series for later where we will talk in more depth about this reality. But we want to just mention it this morning briefly so there's not any confusion. So when I say manifestations of the Spirit's presence, what am I talking about? Well, we're talking about the ways that the Spirit has tended to make the Spirit's presence visible or audible to us. And when the Holy Spirit falls upon people or communities with power, there's often accompanying that are these manifestations that we see that are visible, that are audible. What are they? Well, there's a number of them. This is not an exhaustive list. These are some common experiences that people have. Sometimes people have their hands or other parts of their body start shaking when the Spirit comes upon them. Sometimes people have experience of feeling a deep warmth inside. Some people laugh. Some people cry. Some people experience a deep inner peace. Some people are given a vision of Jesus. In fact, someone shared that with me recently in this church. It's a powerful vision of Jesus that was given. Sometimes people experience their tongue beginning to move spontaneously, otherwise known as the gift of tongues, and we'll talk about that later. Sometimes words of Scripture bubble up, and they just need to be expressed, so they get spoken out. And sometimes the Spirit comes in great power, and there's no physical manifestations at all. One person describes it as, I'm the rock. In fact, this person carries this rock around as a way to remember the time that the Holy Spirit fell upon him for the first time for power. He says, I was unmoved. There was no physical manifestation at all. It was just like a rock. But even when there's no physical manifestations, often there's this experience of power to be effective that comes later when you step out in obedience. So why do these manifestations happen? Well, on the one hand, it's the nature of the Holy Spirit. Remember where we started this series. The Holy Spirit is real. It's the power and the presence of Almighty God. And one of the images, and we looked at this earlier, one of the images the Bible uses for the Spirit is the wind. And here's the thing about the wind. If the wind blows through your yard, what do you see? You see the leaves move, right? Well, if the Holy Spirit were to blow through this room this morning and fall upon us in power, we would expect to see, like the wind, some leaves rustling, right? That's just the nature of the Holy Spirit. It's also the nature of human beings. You see this throughout Scripture, throughout history. When there's a powerful experience of the presence of God, we react to that presence. We react when the Spirit moves upon us. Sometimes we react with silence, sometimes with shaking, with tears, with emotions. This is part of how God's made us. We react. God also makes visible and audible the Holy Spirit to strengthen our faith. And oftentimes, I know it's been that way for me, even if I'm in a room and the Spirit's falling upon other people and I'm one of those rocks, my faith is strengthened and encouraged because I see, obviously, the presence of the Holy Spirit. They're also given as opportunities to learn to trust and obey the Holy Spirit. I remember one of the times the Spirit fell upon me and upon this room. It was in one of our times in Edmonton, and I just felt the Spirit nudging me, say, get on the floor. I say, really? I don't want to get on the floor. It's hard. I'm tired. I had to fight through that, right? Obedience, one of the dynamics. It's all right, I'll get on the floor. So I got on the floor. Started weeping. I was overcome with the presence of God and his love for me. I said, thank you for telling me to get on the floor. It's testing my obedience. We want to avoid quenching the manifestations. In fact, often quenching the manifestations is only a first step to quenching the actual work of the Holy Spirit. So we don't want to be a place like that, that quenches the Holy Spirit's manifestations. But in the end, why do these manifestations come? Well, it's tied very much to why the Holy Spirit empowers us in the first place. And in the end, it's to become more and better and effective witnesses for Jesus Christ. That's why the Spirit is sent. It's the Acts 1:8 promise. Right, and please don't hear in that evangelism. You will be my witnesses. It's much bigger than evangelism. Don't not hear evangelism, but it's much more than that. Our vision for for being witnesses of Jesus Christ. Our vision for the commission that we've been given is as wide as the kingdom of God, meaning that it's as wide as creation. That's what the kingdom has come to renew. And that's why it doesn't matter what your calling is, where God has placed you, what he's called you to do. The invitation is that wherever that's at, in the home, in the school, in your neighborhood, to get to a place and recognize, I can't do it, God. Make me expectant and thirsty for you and dependent on you. I'm helpless. I need you. And it's power to do all the works that God has called us to do in every area of our lives. That is why God has sent his Spirit. Starting in our own Jerusalems, if you want to use the image, our own hearts, our own homes, our families, our church, our neighborhoods, and to the ends of the earth where we follow King Jesus. So how do we respond? I know it's been a question that's been asked throughout the series, kind of building some anticipation and expectancy. We've been talking about these things, and this morning we wanted to ask this question and answer, how then? How do we grow in this? How do we grow in receiving Spirit empowerment? Well, what we're feeling led to do this morning is just create space. We don't know how God's going to use that space. We're just creating it for him. We're going to invite him into that space. And we're going to trust that he's going to lead us through that space. So we're going to have a time of extended prayer and extended worship this morning. That's why the service has flowed a little bit differently so far. And we want to provide opportunity to respond to the teaching this morning and really to this whole series. Specifically, we want to allow time to respond and provide opportunity for praying for the filling and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Let me just remind us of the principles, the dynamics. And I put them back up here. I'm going to leave them up here for a bit as we start in prayer, and then the team's going to come and lead us in worship, and this slide will probably go away. I put this up there because, you know, there's lots of different places you could start this morning. Maybe you come this morning and you're not thirsty. We talked about thirst. Maybe the Spirit nudged you, felt a little bit of conviction. Don't ignore that. Maybe that's the place to start. Just pray. Holy Spirit, make me more thirsty for you. Maybe you're not expectant. I know as I was preparing more again this morning, I was so convicted about this. Am I expectant? Do I have expectancy that the Holy Spirit can move in power? I want to have a lot more expectancy than I have. And that was a place that God led me. Maybe that resonates with you. Maybe it's a place of repentance. We just need to repent and surrender. Ask. But remember, the heart of this in the key step is just to ask for the Holy Spirit to come upon you with power. You can do that in the pew on your own. Randy, Pete, and I are going to be up front while we have time of worship. If you want to come forward and have one of us pray with you, we're happy to do that as well. But if the Holy Spirit speaks to you, nudges you in any of these ways, obey. Don't forget that step. And maybe it's a simple act of obedience. Maybe you just have a sense as we go on this morning, I just need to get on the floor too. I would just encourage you to do it. Get on the floor. If the Spirit's saying, get on the floor. If the Spirit's saying, stand up, stand up. Listen to his voice and obey. So let's ask and let's receive what God has for us in faith this morning. I'm going to lead us in prayer, and the team's going to come and lead us through a time of worship. God, we thank you for this time we've had over the last many weeks to dig into your word, to grow in our understanding of your Holy Spirit. God, what an amazing gift you've given us. We've learned much, and we've grown in our understanding, and it's been our prayer that through this time we've grown in anticipation and expectation as well. And so, God, we come to this morning and we consider these dynamics of cooperating and being open to your empowerment, and we say, Holy Spirit, would you lead us now? Would you lead each one who's in the room this morning, wherever we're at? we open up this space and we linger in your presence, in prayer and in worship, and we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come upon us, to empower us. So lead us now in this time. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.